You know, one of the foundational components of our church is authenticity. And I invite anyone who was there first time to please join us again so that you can hear from the wonderful gifts of our pastors, because I believe that being authentically connected to God in our communities and pursuing that authenticity is vital to our growth and development and how we show up as our best selves. If I'm honest, and I'm going to be extremely honest, brutally honest this morning, that's really the only way I know how to be. I found myself in a place of inauthenticity. I found myself unable to truly be honest and vulnerable with God. And if you're like me, you know, we can use a lot of things to run away from vulnerability. We can use a lot of things to run away from frustration and anger and disappointment in the Lord. And I know for me, the reason why I was running from bringing those things to the Lord is because as Christians, you know, it's been pounded into my head ever since I've been saved from the age of 16 to remember that you gotta faith it till you make it, right? Or I'm too blessed to be stressed. Or, you know, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And, you know, there are countless others. If I went and gave the microphone and did a poll, you could tell me all type of Christian platitudes or Christianese that you've heard over the years or over time when you've been going through. And, you know, honestly, I got to a place where the things that used to work for me didn't work. And the things I used to be able to use to encourage myself in the Lord, I couldn't do it anymore. And so I realized, and I literally came to the Lord with this statement. And it was difficult for me to say because I felt like lightning was going to strike me down. But this is the statement that I told the Lord. I said, I can't and won't continue to pretend to be content with areas of my life that have consistently disappointed me, not produced the outcome I desired, or that haven't come to fruition from what I prayed. Okay? I had to come to him with that. And, you know, I am a career educator. That is my career. And so people are going to laugh when I say this that know me, but I have this kind of rubric, this internal rubric that I use to operate with my life. It has different categories, different, all those different things. And I consistently felt like in some areas I was coming up short. And, you know, coming to the Lord with that statement, I really had to figure out what it is. How can I truly be authentic? And so this is our driving question for today. I told you guys I'm a career educator. So there will be a driving question that we are going to explore today together. And that question is, how do I remain authentic in my connection with God and others and continue to live a fulfilling life even when parts of that life don't feel fulfilled? So that is going to be our driving question for today. I'm going to repeat it once again. How do I remain authentic in my connection with God and others and continue to live a fulfilling life even when parts of that life don't feel fulfilled? That is going to be what we explore today. So the title of today's message is Authentically Fulfilled. Right, we're going to learn how we can truly live an authentically fulfilled life. Right? So our first scripture that we are going to go to is Ephesians 6:10. So you guys can go to that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And so as I was exploring this driving question, and I told you guys that I came to the Lord and said, I got to stop pretending. You know, I know Paul said be content in all things, but I'm not. So I need some help. And he kind of gave me some points and some pointers. And I want to say that this is not formulaic. Our life that we live in Christ is not a formula, right? And so this is not really formulaic, but really more kind of guideposts. That will kind of lead us to this authentic fulfillment that we are looking for. And so in Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. So the first way that we can truly have an authentically fulfilled life is to infuse God. Okay? First way that we do that is to infuse God. I want to actually give the definition for infusion because I actually never looked at it before. You know, I've bought those water bottles in the past with a little basket to put your fruit in, you know, to infuse it or whatever. And delicious. but I never really thought about what it means to infuse. And so I'm going to read the definition. It says, when you infuse, you introduce one thing into another so as to affect it throughout. Infuse implies a pouring in of something that gives new life or significance. Okay? I never really considered that in, that infusion definition, but it's so powerful. And it reminded me, it made me think of getting an IV. I'm sure many of us have gone to a doctor and gotten an IV before. And there's a plethora of different medical situations where you get an IV. And typically, you can kind of put them into these two categories. One, either the person is unable to ingest what they need for survival and nourishment of their own, so they get it infused directly into them, or you are in such a medical crisis, it's the fastest and most efficient way to get what that individual needs to survive. And I want to invite you guys, there are some situations, and I experienced them, some disappointments, some frustrations that literally I was unable to, on my own, put in what I needed to deal with it. I was unable on my own to get the nourishment to keep me bolstered up. But the beautiful thing is that we don't have to. When we take our time and we infuse God, we implore and infuse his character into those situations, then he gives us the victorious reality. You know, when we don't invite God into those painful realities of our life, he can't infuse them with the victorious reality obtained by Jesus. You know, I look at an example in the Bible of David. And David was a great example of living an infused life. And I realized that the reason why God called David a man after his own heart wasn't what David did or achieved, but it was because David was unapologetic. If you read some of those Psalms that David wrote, he was truly unapologetic in how he came to the Lord. He was open and honest in his feelings and in his thoughts. And more importantly, he was open and honest about who he needed for God to be for him in those moments. In every single moment of his life, David came to the Lord and he was honest and he was clear about what aspect of God's character he needed to show up. Okay? And he knew God intimately. You know, he was able to use the metaphor, Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms of a shepherd, because he knew what it meant to be a shepherd. And so by having that infused life with God, God was infused in that. And he gave that just regular everyday job of being a shepherd, he gave it new life. He gave it new significance. He gave it new meaning. And so any area of your life where you may have experienced discontentment or unfulfillment, I invite you to take David's example, to infuse God into that particular area and watch it get new life and new significance. Amen? Okay, we're going to go to our second point. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 3:17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And I am going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Our second point for being authentically fulfilled is to underachieve. It's to underachieve. I know that sounds weird, right? Most of us can think of our life in school or wherever to people that have been labeled underachievers. And you're like, I don't want to be nothing like them. So what is she talking about? I don't want to be nothing like them people, those slackers, if you will, right, who were deemed underachievers. And for someone who is always trying to overachieve, this is a huge paradigm shift for me. But I want to take us back to this particular scripture because at this moment, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God was speaking to Jesus, and Jesus had done nothing. Jesus had not done a miracle. Jesus had not started his ministry. Jesus had achieved nothing. And God said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Or as we typically know, he said in the King James Version, with whom I'm well pleased. So God affirmed him before any achievement happened. So Jesus received the affirmation. He was a receiver, not an achiever. And receiving that allowed him to go on and achieve everything that he needed to. You know, a lot of times when we get caught up in our achievements, and caught up trying to grind and hustle and get it, we can begin to connect our value to God with what you're able to achieve on your own. And you get into a dangerous place with that, because anything that you rely on for strength or support that doesn't come from God is an idol and it won't last. And so we have to get to a place where we fall back into the genuine and authentic reality of our value in God's eyes. What he equipped us with is sufficient to accomplish the purpose he put us here to do. Like I said before, Jesus was affirmed before he did anything. And I believe in that scripture, God is telling us the same thing. And right now, you'll never be more loved. You'll never be more valued than you are right now. It doesn't matter what happens when you leave here or for the rest of your life. God still values you and he still loves you and he has a purpose and plan for you. We have to begin to have more faith, or faith in the character of God and his commitment to our well-being, more than our ability to get God to move on our behalf. Okay? We have to begin to really have faith in not the outcome. That's not true faith. Putting your thoughts and your expectations in a particular outcome. But true faith says, I know God's character. And no matter whatever the outcome is, his character is stood the test of time, and his character will never change. I realized in this moment of connecting with Lord and spending time with him, because I felt like I just needed to try hard, like I needed to do more, like I'm not doing enough. And God told me he doesn't want us to try harder. He wants us to trust deeper. It's another paradigm shift. Any area of your life where you feel like I'm not working hard enough, I need to work more, that's not the answer. The answer is to trust deeper. He told me that he can accomplish more in our rest than we can achieve in our own strength. And I laugh at that, and because I remember I recently got a promotion, actually around this time last year, to be an assistant principal. And when I got the initial phone call that, they were interested in putting me in a position interviewing, I was actually taking a nap. I was asleep. And I got the phone call, and I thought it was a dream, because sometimes like I'll sleep and I'll answer the phone and I'll hang it and I won't know if it's real or not. So I thought it was a dream. And then so I got the call, and then I talked and then I hung up. Then I immediately called back and said, were you real or was I dreaming? And they laughed, like, no, it was real. So I was reminded that in our rest, God can accomplish way more than we can doing it on our own. We focus less on achieving and more on receiving the manifestation of God's character and presence. We become infused with God's strength, God's peace, and are empowered to go follow confidently behind our Lord and Savior. I want to take us to another scripture, Proverbs 3:6. It's a familiar passage of scripture to most of us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. A lot of these scriptures, I'll go back and forth between the Passion and New Living Translation, because I feel like the Passion Translation adds so much character and a little bit more context to get to the real heart of what the Lord is trying to say to us. So in Proverbs 3:6 in the Passion Translation, it says, "Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go." Okay? The more that we put down and stop trying to achieve it, either achieve it on our own or try to achieve to get God to move, the more we put that to the side, the more we develop true intimacy with the Lord, and the more he can lead us wherever we go. So we have 2 points. We'll do a quick recap. I told you guys I'm an educator. So our first point is to infuse God. Okay. Our second point is to underachieve. I don't go to work tomorrow telling your boss, "At my church, they said we got to underachieve, so I'm not going to work," because you won't have a job, okay? That is not what I mean, but you guys get what I'm saying. I know you guys are the gifted group, so you guys understand, okay? The next point we're going to go to the scripture of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. And I'm going to tell you guys what the point is before I get into the scripture. So point number three about being authentically fulfilled is to be joyful. But there's kind of a play on words. So with joyful, it's spelled J-O-Y-F-U-L-L. So to be joyful, be full of joy. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. It says, I'm going to reading from the Passion Translation once again. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. I have been on a personal joy journey, I call it, for about a year, a little over a year. And it truly has been one of the most enlightening time periods of my life. Because as I talked about before, you know, realizing that I have been living in authenticity didn't just happen like one day overnight. And when I began to kind of feel this, you know, discontentment and this shift, I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, I just need to have more faith. I need more of your power. I need more strength of my own. I'm weak. You know, all of these different like words that sounded like Christian warrior words, I call them like that, sounded really good to me. And the Lord told me, no, you need joy. And I was like, joy? Like, I got stuff to do. I got work to do. I'm a black woman in America. I got to be strong. You know, all these different things. Like, literally, I thought joy was this frivolous concept. I didn't really connect what he meant by that. And, you know, I began to ask God to reveal what joy looks like. Because I didn't, like I said, I didn't take it serious. And the more that I realized, and the more that I asked God to show me what joy looks like in the different areas of disappointment or discontentment that I was feeling, then God was able to reveal to me that his promises are greater than my problems. And that the crisis and chaos I was in, that his character is greater than that. And ultimately what it came down to on this joy journey is that our experiences in life don't invalidate the promises of God. A lot of times we think that if something doesn't happen or we're told that something can't happen, that means that the promise that God gave us or told us is invalid, and that's not the case. When you decide to choose joy, and let me tell you, it is a choice. It is a daily, hourly, minutely, sometimes secondly, if that's a word, choice to have joy. And really what joy is and what joy says is that it's coming to the Lord and saying, I'm committed to spending time in intimate communication with you until I stop relying on myself to perform my way to your promises. Okay? So when you make a decision to choose joy, that is literally what you're saying. You're spending time with God. You're saying, what does joy look like in this? And I'm going to continue this intimate communication. I'm going to continue to do the things I know to do. I'm going to continue to come to you and be vulnerable and be unapologetic when I do, until I can get to a point where I stop relying on myself to perform my way to your promises and to just receive them the authentic way that you want me to. You know, Jesus is our best example, in case you didn't know, in the Bible. And when we are struggling in certain areas of our life, or we're having, you know, discontentment or unfulfillment or whatever term you want to use, you know, we typically hear the advice, just push through it. Or sometimes we give ourselves a pep talk, either a mental pep talk or a verbal pep talk. So I just got to push through. I think about some people push it, but that probably wasn't the best example to use up here on the stage. But we get the advice to just push through. And when we are pushing through, we are relying on our own strength. And Jesus actually never pushed through. Even when we think about it, I think about in The Passion of Christ, the movie, and I think about the scene leading up to the crucifixion. Or I think about, you know, I went to Catholic school growing up, so we did Stations of the Cross. And literally, we had a station for each stop on the journey. And you think about, like, man, Jesus just pushed through. Well, actually, that's not what he did. I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And this is actually going to come from the New Living Translation. And it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And in looking at this, I want us to focus in on a part of scripture that says, because of the joy awaiting him. So God has crafted a specific joy for each one of us. And so Jesus didn't push through in the most difficult times of our life, but he was pulled through. So the joy set before him was so strong. It's kind of like a rope being tied to his waist. And it literally pulled him through and pulled him out of the most terrible circumstances and pain that he experienced. So I implore you to allow choosing joy to pull you through those different areas of your life. Don't push through, because that's your own strength. And if we remember from earlier, if we're relying on our own strength, it's an idol and it won't last. Okay? Joy does not deny the painful realities that we face. When the Lord first told me to go on a joy journey, I thought he was telling me to mask what I was going through and put on a happy face. That's what I thought he meant. But happiness and joy aren't the same thing. Joy is internal and eternal. And it doesn't deny the painful realities that we face. Instead, it causes us to engage in authentic and intimate communication with God. Determining and purposing in myself to be joyful has caused my communication and my time with the Lord to be more authentic and intimate than it has ever been in my entire life. And I realized that that's why he told me joy. He told me that so that the painful realities that I faced, I could come to him and realize I don't have to perform my way to his promise. I can just receive them. Okay? Amen. So we have infused God. We've underachieved. We've become full of joy. And now we're going to go to our last pit stop on this journey to being authentically fulfilled. And that is to accept unmet expectations. I know y'all are like, she is telling us all of this. This stuff that doesn't, I got to be, now I can't have my expectations met? What type of church is this? Who did our pastor put up here? Accept unmet expectations. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it's so funny because in looking at and actually saying this out loud, it reminded me of a time where the Lord told me, you know what, you don't take me seriously enough. And I'm going to be honest, I got scared because I thought about in the Old Testament, people who didn't take God serious, what happened? Like Lot's wife and the people of Noah's time. And I was like, the earth is about to open up and swallow me because I don't take my God who I serve serious. Oh, my goodness. And what the Lord was trying to get me to see is that I took, it wasn't condemnation. Thank God I'm still here. But he told me that I take myself too seriously and him not seriously enough. And so when we look at Ephesians 3:20, I'm once again going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. When the Lord told me that I take myself too seriously and him not seriously enough, he was trying to get me to see that I and no human is omnipotent or omniscient. No human is all-powerful and all-knowing. And that means that I'm definitely not powerful enough to mess up the plan God has for my life. We a lot of times let worry tell us not to believe what our hearts know. And the word tells us that before the foundation of the world, Jesus was crucified. So if we look at that example, that means that before Adam had a problem in the garden, God already had a solution. And so God was telling me that before you ever encountered this disappointment, or before you ever encountered this place of discontentment, I already had an answer and I already had a solution. So you didn't catch me off guard. Crisis and chaos don't catch God off guard. He is Lord over it. And so sometimes we think that we're surprising him or whatever, and he's not surprised. He had a solution. And you know, with the whole point of accepting unmet expectations, I realized a lot of times disappointment comes from unmet expectations, right? We had an expectation, it wasn't met, and I'm disappointed. And being disappointed isn't a character flaw. It's a natural part of life. But what happens is that we can live in disappointment, and that's where it becomes the issue, when you live in that disappointment and because the expectations weren't met. But I realized, especially in looking at Ephesians 3:20, that God never intended to meet our expectations. His plan was and is to always exceed them. So when we are so focused on getting our expectations met, that's never what God told us he would do. He never told us that. Nowhere in the Bible did God say he would meet your expectations. What he did say was, let's look back at Ephesians 3:20. He said he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. So anything that you can think in your head, he will outdo them all. Anything that you can think, any thought, any plan, any idea that comes into your head, and you have an idea of what it looks like to achieve that, God said, nope, let that go, because I'm going to exceed and outdo that. And I realized that when we make a decision to live in disappointment, to live in the disappointment of unmet expectations, we can never experience what God's plan for exceeding our expectations looks like. So you can go back to these different areas of your life and look and see, I've been living in disappointment. I've been experiencing disappointment. And in those particular areas, when you spend your time with the Lord, you can shed all that disappointment, let it go, because he is ready and willing and is delighting himself. He's been waiting for you to get off of that so that now he can say, boom, thank you. Thank you for accepting being unmet. So now let me come in and blow your mind and outdo it and exceed him. Okay? So I want us to go to Psalms 138:8. And I'm once again going to read from the Passion Translation. And it says, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me. So the Lord has begun a lot of great things in each and every one of us. And he keeps every promise that he's ever made. And his love doesn't end. And so he definitely will finish and continue the good work that he started in you. So in revisiting our driving question, right, how do I remain authentic in my connection with God and others and continue to live a fulfilling life even when parts of that life don't feel fulfilled? We're going to make sure that we take time to infuse God into those particular areas of discontentment or unfulfillment. We're going to underachieve. So I need to make a copy. We're going to underachieve and overreceive, right? Let's make it a positive. So underachieve and overreceive, right? We're going to be joyful. We're going to be full of joy. Remember, joy causes us to engage in that authentic and intimate connection with the Lord so that we can stop trying to perform our way to his promises. And we are going to accept unmet expectations, because the reality is, God never told us he would meet our expectations. He always told us he would exceed them. You know, there may be areas of your life that look dead, that look like they're in a grave. And if we look at an example in the Bible, we know that God doesn't see graves the way we do. When we look at Jesus, yeah, they put him in a grave, but really that grave was a door. It was a door to victory. So any area of your life that may look dead, it's not in a grave, it's a door. Okay? There may be areas of your life that look like you are drowned, or you feel like you're drowning, or feel like they're flooded. You know, we look at Noah's example with that. And God didn't necessarily see a flood, he saw a promise. Right? And you may feel like you're being devoured right now. Feel like you're just gonna be eaten on up. And if we look at Daniel's example, we see God doesn't see devouring happening, but he sees deliverance. And so I invite you guys to stand up, because we're going to close out in prayer. And I just invite you to keep in mind that any area of your life that I mentioned before that looks like it's in a grave, or looks like you're, or you feel like you're drowning, or you feel like you're about to be devoured, know that God doesn't see those situations in the same way. And we have examples laid out for us in the Word about how God has used those areas and used those opportunities where people literally were in a do or die. People were literally in situations where they couldn't see a way out. And he used them and leveraged them to get them into the place that he needed them to be. He definitely exceeded their expectations. So if everyone could close your eyes and bow your head as we pray. If there are any of you who right now feel like, you know what, I have some areas that are in the grave. I have some areas that seem flooded. I have some areas that seem like I'm going to be devoured. If you could just lift your hands so I can know who I'm specifically praying for as I do the general prayer. Okay. Thank you. I see your hands. Lord, we come before you in prayer. I come before you to prayer just thankful. Thankful that when all else fails, you won't, because you can't. It's not part of your character. I thank you, Lord, that any area of our life we are experiencing chaos or crisis, your character is greater. And I thank you that you are ready and willing and you delight yourself to show up on our behalf and infuse those painful realities of life that we experience with the victory obtained through Christ. Lord, I pray for each and every individual, either virtually or in person, who's raised their hand. I pray specifically for them. I pray that they do not go this week without experiencing a sample or a taste of what that victorious reality looks like. I pray that they spend time infusing you. They spend time being joyful. They spend time underachieving and overreceiving. They spend time letting go of what they thought expectations being met looked like and expecting and walking in you exceeding them. I pray that all those things happen over every individual that hears my voice. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to pass it back over to our pastor.